Good morning, everybody. Shavuot Tov to all. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. Just public service announcement, there is no shir till after the Yomim Tovim. So this is the final shir. This, I think we said we resume October 12th, right? The next shir, Be'ezros Hashem, will be after the Yomim Tovim. I will post the reminder. So this is really our final shir before the Yom Hadin, our, in terms of this topic, our final chizuk. In Shmiras HaLashon, actually, interestingly, Alyssa, your sister-in-law, Ya'el Axelrod, emailed me last night. She's preparing a shir, and she was looking for the source of something we quoted in this class, which I'll be honest, I didn't even remember quoting it, and it's so relevant for the shir. She reminded me that we once said that the Beis HaLevi teaches, the father of Rav Chaim Brisker, the Beis HaLevi, Zatzal Zchusi Agen Aleinu, teaches that the shofar is the purest prayer because it's the prayer of the neshama, not the prayer of the lips. And the neshama is untainted by the sin of speech, by the sin of slander, by the sin of nivol peh. The mouth which we use to daven is also tainted by sin. We don't want the defense to become the prosecutor. However, it happens to be that during the course of the year, we have sin with our speech. And then we use that same mouth to daven. But the shofar, the Beis HaLevi teaches, Rav Yashar Ber Salavechik teaches, is the purest tefillah because it's the emanation of the soul and the soul is untainted by sins of speech. So I thought it was very beautiful. She wanted to know where I quoted from. I said, I don't remember. Very nice var. Worth telling over as we prepare to hear shofar this year. So our shir is should be an aliyah neshama for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoel Vechana, Alav HaShalom. It's neshama should have a continuous aliyah on the merit of this learning. Also with Alyssa's permission, Zchus Refuah for Bracha Avigal Bas Rachel Gita, Besoch Shar Chalei. So we'll begin with the tefillah al hadibur. For those who do not have it, I actually posted it on the WhatsApp chat. The Shmir Salas class WhatsApp chat, and I post, please open it. All I post is the Zoom reminders, the share links, anything relevant to share. So let's begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. Ribono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Al Rachum V'Chanan Shetezekeni Hayim V'Chol Yom Lishmar Pi U'Lashoni Milashon Hara U'Echidus V'Ezaher Melidaber Afilu Al Ish Yachid V'Kol Shekein Al Klal Yisrael O al chelek mehem, v'kol shekein l'Yisra'im al midosav shel kodesh baruch hu, v'ezaher m'ledaber divrei sheker chanufa mechlokes ka'as gaiva, o na'as dvarim habanas panim leitzanus, v'chol dibur asur, v'zakeni shelo ledaber, kim davar hatzarich l'inyani gufi, v'nafshi v'yiyu, kol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim, amen v'amen. Besides the fact that it's very appropriate to always learn this year, but specifically Erev Yom Hadin, when we want our mouths to be pure, because in Kat we don't want that the defense, our mouths, which stand in our defense in Tefillah, should prosecute against us the sins of speech. So it's very appropriate to learn this right now, Erev Yom Hadin, like we just quoted the beautiful insight for the Beis, from the Beis HaLevi. It's also very relevant because yesterday was Chof Dalet Elov. It was the Yurtzeit of the Chofetz Chaim. Yesterday was the Yurtzeit of the Chofetz Chaim, Zchusei Yagen Eleinu. So what I'm going to do is begin Shir by quoting from the biography of the Chofetz Chaim. This is a very lengthy, in-depth, it took me a few months to read because I have so much else, not like the biographies they published today, which I enjoy very much. I'm not saying anything bad. I give a comment to them. I like them. There's a lot to learn. But this was published many years ago. There's a lot of pages with very fine print. And with everything else I have to do, it took me a while to get through. But it's a very, very beautiful biography. It's published by Art Squad. The Life and Work of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan of Radin by Rabbi Moshe M. Yashar. Okay, so I'm just going to quote a couple of teachings from the Sefer in the memory of the Chofetz Chaim, whose Yurtzeit was yesterday. It is told, okay, that he was once traveling on a train and he was noticed by another Jewish traveler on the train. The traveler noticed this man, a small Jew, sitting in the corner of the railway coach, hunched forward and half asleep. The traveler moved closer and in a booming voice he said, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, peace unto you. Fun vanit is a yid. Where does a Jew come from? Meaning, where are you from? From the Vilna province, said the Chofetz Chaim. From which town? Oh, from a small town near Lida. The Jewish traveler persisted. But what is the name of your town? Oh, Radin. Radin is the name of my town, said the man. Radin, you're a Jew from Radin, said the traveler. You have a great tzaddik there, you know, the Chofetz Chaim. May he be healthy and well. The small Jew from Radin shook his head. A tzaddik? That's news to me. He's a plain Jew, like all the other Jews. The traveler could not bear this. Would you listen to such impudence from a Jew to insult a Chofetz Chaim? You should be ashamed of yourself. How could an old man like you allow himself to disparage his honor when the whole world agrees that the Chofetz Chaim is the tzaddik of our generation? The small Jew was unmoved. He mumbled, "Not true. I know. I am acquainted with him. He is not a tzaddik. He is a plain Jew." The traveler grew angrier and hurled investive at the small Jew. He was saying, he was upset at him. Meanwhile, the train came to a halt at the station and new passengers alighted and came on the train. They recognized the Chofetz Chaim immediately. They came over to greet him with great respect. The angry traveler was shocked to realize who he had been berating. Tearfully, he begged the small Jew, "Rabbi, forgive me. I didn't know it was you." The Chofetz Chaim shrugged his shoulders, unable to understand what there was to forgive. True, the man called him a tzaddik. He could not be blamed for that. He did not know. The past was the past. But now on his face, you could read the question, doesn't this man realize now that he has made a mistake? The Chofetz Chaim really is, as this man has seen, a small town, ordinary Jew, and not a tzaddik. So besides for everything that he taught us in terms of Torah and the Mishnah Berurah and his legacy of Shmir Salashon, he was an unbelievable tzaddik, Gaon Olam. I'm going to quote further, that was just in terms of his character, to now specific teachings from this book about the Koach of Shmir Salashon. This is very, very beautiful and very relevant. To reach perfection in any particular matter is a goal that only a few select individuals can hope to achieve. So will I ever be perfect? Can I absolutely reach perfection? But sometimes the idea that I cannot be perfect causes us to be discouraged. Only those with special gifts may actually hope to attain perfection. Yet, as a goal and aim in life, to strive and move towards perfection is a necessary ideal for every upright, serious person of integrity. The higher and nobler the goal, the more splendid and noble will be the actions of that person. And therefore, striving to reach a goal is worthwhile in and of itself, even if we're not perfect in Shmir Salashon. So all the work that we're doing to hold ourselves back, and all the times we change our speech and change the topic of conversation and leave a table if it's not appropriate, that in and of itself, that striving for perfection, even if we are not going to reach absolute perfection, is a worthy goal. As the sages teach, I'm still quoting from the book, a person must say, "Mataya gyu masai l'masai avosai." When will my deeds, my level, reach the level and deeds of my forefathers? Our strivings must be always greater than our actual attainments. Should always be striving for a higher level than where I am now. And this is one of my favorite sentences in this whole book. This is a very long book. As I mentioned, it's 590 pages, but the letters are small. And then today it's much faster to get through the biographies. Listen to this sentence. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can neglect his duty to be good. The fact that a human being is unable to be perfect does not mean he can therefore neglect his duty to be good. So we don't have an excuse. We can't say, well, I can never be perfect in Shmir Salashon, in guarding my tongue, so I'm not even going to try. No, the fact that a human being is unable to be perfect, because we're not perfection, we're not malachim, we're human beings, does not mean he can neglect his duty to be good. The spirit's healing should be not different from the healing of the body. Even if a patient knows the physician cannot cure him entirely from an illness, he will take the prescribed medication because any degree of healing and longevity of life is worthwhile. Every extra hour of life is a bonus. Why should a man act differently in regard to spiritual life and spiritual health? Every step we take in the right direction is a major hurdle that we have overcome. Even if man cannot be perfect, he cannot neglect his duty to strive to be good. An example. One of the main reasons a person may be indifferent to the need to guard his tongue against evil gossip is the thought that he must interact with people socially all the time. He has to speak with people. He has to deal with people. He has to earn money for his existence. It's impossible to weigh and measure every single word he wants to utter. It's a huge task, Herculean effort. Think about it. We're talking all day to think before we say every single word. Additionally, people believe that to keep one's mouth under constant control demands effort, an endless strain. Therefore, a person lets his mouth act freely and irresponsibly, with no control. So Rabbi Yisrael Meir Cohen Kagan used to say, that is the meaning of the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, do not move far away from a quality that has no limit. Do not move far away, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to say, from a quality that has no limit. This is explained as follows. When a person stands at the shore of the ocean and the surf throws up gems and precious stones, is he going to be too lazy to run and gather what he can? Will he be indifferent because he can't collect all the treasure on the seashore? Or will he rush forward and take as much of the precious gems that he can? The answer is obvious. You're standing on the seashore, even if you can't get every gem that just came up with the tide, what are you at least going to do? Try and get what you can. The human being must therefore learn to understand all of the schemes and the strategies of the evil inclination in regard to Lashon Hara. Even if this learning process will not make him 100% perfect to repress the Lashon Hara, it will still have a large measure of good influence. And we've been learning this class for many years, Baruch Hashem, and I hope that those who participate have found this to be true. That yes, there are times that we still make mistakes. And one of the things we're going to clap, one of the sins that we clap on Achei for is Achei Shechatan Lefenecha B'Lashon Hara, B'Feirush. It's not, we're not giving a haskama to sin and to speak Lashon Hara. Nobody should chas v'shalom think that. But in our understanding of human beings, we realize that we try very hard. Hopefully we try very hard. And sometimes we fall and we fail and we stumble. But just because you can't get every gem on the shore of the ocean, the Chavetz Chaim said, does it not mean you should try and collect what you can? Of course. You're not going to say, I can't get all the gems, so I won't take five. You're going to take five. You're going to take 10. Every time we hold back from saying something we don't want to say or that we shouldn't say, or we are not menavel piv and we don't engage in kas and gaiva, all the terms that we describe in that tefillah, that's another gem that we amass for ourselves. And that's how the Chavetz Chaim explained the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Do not move far away from a quality that has no limit. So the gems might have no limit and you might not be able to get all the gems, but can you get some of the gems? If the answer is yes, then what should you do? Collect what you can. I think it's important, chizuk, because sometimes, especially in regard to the sins of speech, is if you work so hard and you teach this class, or you join this class, or you listen on my Torah, or you make your effort, and then you fail, and you think, did I just do that? How long have I been learning the Sefer for? Could that have actually happened to me? And that's a tactic of the Yetzer Hara, not only the sin, but to get you to throw it all away. That's very dangerous. This is one of my favorite lines in the book. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can neglect his duty to be good. It's very important. And we cannot let the Yetzer Hara tell us to throw away all the gems that we have managed to collect just because you can't get every single gem that washes up. Like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, it's Avos to Rabbi Nasan Chaf Zayin. Do not move far away from a quality that has no limit. Two more paragraphs from the Sefer, and then we're going to go back to Maseches Erchi. We read in Scripture, in Sefer Micha, guard the entrances of your mouth. Guard the entrances of your mouth. Hence, we see a man's mouth is likened to an entranceway or a doorway. Now, just as the doorway of a house or the doorway of a garden requires watchfulness and care. Shouldn't be always open. You don't leave the door to your house always open. In order to keep out unwanted and unpleasant guests, especially in a location where thieves are to be found, a man's mouth needs first-rate watchfulness and guarding to keep harmful agents and forces from infiltration, especially since the evil inclination constantly lurks at the entrance to the mouth. You don't leave your door open, you don't go to bed at night, leave your door unlocked. Today, I don't know, I don't leave my door unlocked in the middle of the day. Sometimes, Sunday, people are coming in and out, cousins, whatever. But in general, you're home, even when you're home, the door is locked. So Chavetz Chaim said, if you keep your own door locked because you don't want evil to infiltrate into your home, you have to keep your mouth locked so that spiritual evil will not infiltrate into our mouths. For this reason, a person must take care when he opens his mouth to speak. He should keep his mouth locked and sealed so he does not speak slander or denigrate his fellow man. One second. Oh, that's very nice. So someone just private messaged. Is messaging to everyone not working? Sometimes I have that. I'll see that people are private messaging and they say it's not working to everyone. I just want to see something. I'm going to quote what was just said. Okay, maybe the person doesn't want to be quoted. That's why they texted it privately. I just posted hi just to make sure that the chat feature is working. You got it. Okay, so I'm not going to quote the person, but she wrote something very nice. As Rabbi Franz said at the Siyum HaShas, parentheses, a million years ago pre-corona, do not let perfect become the enemy of good. It's very good. It relates very much to this line of what the Chofetz Chaim teaches, do not let perfect become the enemy of good. So sometimes the striving for perfection is actually the goal of the Yetzer Hara. It makes you feel that you can never be perfect, and the reality is that since we're human beings and not Malachim, we really can never be, I don't even know what perfect actually means, but we can't be sin-free totally ever. At the end of our life, we're going to clap al chayt. That means that this past year, I did at least something wrong. Al habayi was only one thing. Don't let perfect, says Rabbi Fran, become the enemy of good. Very, very good. One more paragraph of the Chofetz Chaim. In our sacred literature, a human being is often likened to an earthenware vessel. I thought this is very interesting because that's some of the imagery that we also use in the tefillos for the Yamim No Ra'im. Life is a tzel over, a passing shade, an earthenware vessel, a withering flower. The Torah states, every open earthenware vessel that has no lid on it is ritually unclean. So tumah kin go into, if somebody dies in the tent, and tumah, from Parshas Chukas, Perek Yutasa Bamidbar, tumah can go into the earthenware vessel if it is uncovered. Herein lies a message about the human mouth. Just as an unsealed earthenware vessel lets defilement, tumah, penetrate and make it ritually unclean, so too man. If he does not set his mind to keep his mouth locked when necessary, if he does not take care to repair the fences and the hedges that guard his tongue, tuma will, by osmosis, penetrate and make him unclean. So I thought it was a beautiful teachings. He also says, I want to get to Maseches Arachin, so I'm stopping, but he also says that if you feel embarrassed because of your strivings, and I remember that someone, she's actually on this, I saw her before, maybe she left, I don't know, she's here. She once said in Alyssa's class, this person said a million years ago, pre-corona, in Alyssa's house, she said, sometimes you say, you know, it's Lashon Hara, maybe we shouldn't talk, and everyone says, oh, you think you're so religious, you never spoke Lashon Hara, now you want to change the topic. So the Chafetz Chaim said, it is better to suffer shame in this world rather than mortification in the world to come. So if a person knows that they're doing the right thing, so then it doesn't matter what other people think of you, and it doesn't matter how embarrassed they might make you out to be, and it doesn't matter if they now say you think you're such a tzaddik. The important thing is to guard our mouths like that earthenware vessel, not to let the tuma become infused within. So it's a beautiful biography. If anybody wants to invest the time, the money, it's not so expensive, but the time to read it, there's a lot to learn. The Chofetz Chaim is your site. Rav Yisrael Meir Kohen Kagan of Radom was yesterday, 24 Elo. Interesting that he was Nifter Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a Divrei Hisorus for all of us that we don't want the same mouth that davens, that begs the Ribono Shel Olam for life, should be Chas V'Shalom a mouth sullied by sins of speech. Oh, wait a second. Who said, do not let perfect be the enemy of good? So somebody wrote here that Rabbi Franz said it at the Siyum HaShas. I will post what was messaged to me. That's exactly how it came to me. I put it on the chat if anybody would like to copy it down for themselves. We are in Maseches Arachin still. So I'll tell you something cute. Esther Sassoon mentioned to me that she heard this, and I also heard him say it. Rav Shai Shechter was teaching a certain shir series. I think it was Pirkei Avos. I don't remember. I think so. It was Pirkei Avos. And it was taking a long time to get through, I think, a particular Mishnah or through the shir series. And he said that his father, Shlita Rav Heschel Shechter, and said that it's a schus for a richos yamim, that if it takes you a long time to get through something, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to give you more life because he wants you to be able to complete what you're getting through. So Baruch Hashem, we also only learn every other week. Not only, we learn Baruch Hashem every other week, so we are going through the sugya here in Maseches Arachin Tesvav that deals with the topic of Shmiras HaLashon and the sin of Lashon Hara. So I leave myself a bookmark, so I sticky begin here at the next class so I know where we are up to. So here we are. The Gemara continues and cites another related teaching of the gravity of Lashon Hara. But Ma'arava Omrei, in the West, they said, it's always so interesting to me when the Gemara writes that. We're, of course, in Talmud Bavli, so when they say in the West, think of the map. What are they talking about? North, East, South, West? Well, it's probably the opposite to you. West means in Eretz Yisrael. So the sages in Eretz Yisrael say, Ready? The Gemara quotes, and the sages in Eretz Yisrael, they say, Lashon Tilitai, Katil Tilitai. The tongue of person number three kills three. What does this mean? Footnote, and then I'm going to quote Rashi inside. Person number three, who is person number three? Person number three is the gossip monger, the Rachil. He is the third party in relation to who? The man whose secrets he reveals and the fellow to whom he reveals them. So in the West, they say, Lashon, the tongue, Tilitai, the tongue of person number three, Katil kills, Tilitai kills three. Who is the tongue of person number three? Tongue of person number three is the gossip monger, who's revealed the secrets of person number one to person number two. Rashi says on the Gemara, Zeloshon harachil, this is the tongue of the gossip monger, Shehi shlishis ben adam lechaveru, it is the third tongue between man and fellow man, le galus lo sod. What does he do? He reveals secrets. He says things that should not be said. So he reveals the secrets about A to person B. His tongue is tongue number three. The tongue of person number three kills three. Who does it kill? Horeg lemisapro. The tongue kills the one who speaks Lashon Hara. So first of all, it kills himself. And possibly, like we said, how does one of the ways it kills himself? Well, when you come to daven and you come to make a bracha and you come to take lulav and eshag and you say al natilas lulav and you come to nasana tokef and you come to klap the alchei by your same mouth that spoke those slanderous words for which you have not repented, let's say, okay, you did not do teshuva, let's say chas v'sham, and now you're davening for chayim by chayim v'mavis, mavis v'chayim b'yad halashon. So they are both in the hands of the tongue, both life and death. How can you use, how can your own defense become your prosecutor? So who does it kill? The tongue horeg l'misapo. It kills the one who speaks the Lashon Hara. Ula mekablo. It kills the one who accepts the Lashon Hara. Ula amro. And the one about whom it is said. This is Beferish in the Gemara. You can look it up. It's Mesechos Arachin Tasvav Amabes. Excuse me. So the article footnote says, the gossip monger brings about a feud between the two parties, and they eventually kill each other. The Gemara is trying to understand. The Gemara says that three people ultimately die: the speaker, the listener or the acceptor, and the subject of the speech. How is that so? So the footnote explains, quoting Rashi, the gossip monger brings about a feud between the two parties. Eventually, they come to kill each other. The avenger of their death kills the gossip monger who caused the killing. So the Goel Hadam of the people who were killed ultimately comes and kills the person who caused the killing. So ultimately, who lost their life? Everybody. So what do we have to understand? What is the Gemara really trying to teach us? The unbelievable dangers that are associated with sins of speech. So Rashi says, La'omro, L'rachil atzmo. The Rachil Atzmo is going to kill himself. Shemitoch meriva, from a quarrel. Shenofelas bein hashnayim, the quarrel will result. You know, C goes to B and says, do you know what A said? Or do you know what A did? Or do you know what A posted about you, B? And then A and B end up having a meriva. They end up in a quarrel. Hargin zedzeh, they end up killing each other. V'hargin golei hadam is a rechil. And the avengers of blood, the family of those people who killed each other, will come kill the person who spoke about them negatively in the first pesha, reig ba'al yado, because the killing came through his hand. So the rechil caused those two people to kill each other. Now the rechil is going to be killed. So bekitzer, if you thought about this every time, not you, me, every time I spoke Lashon Hara. So the reality is that I would not speak Lashon Hara. And these teachings that we're spending these few months on are so important. All the shiurim are posted online if you missed the previous shiurim. And it's, I think, a big zchus that Alyssa and your family bring these teachings and this shiur to Klal Yisrael, to whoever can benefit, because you don't want to sometimes hear these things. And it's very important for us to be osik in these matters, because one person could save a world and one person could destroy a whole world. Oh, Tosfos is very interesting. So Tosfos says, ready? Lishinai Tilitai, the third tongue. Perish Rashi, first Tosfos quotes Rashi in the Gemara. Lashon Shlishi Shavachia Megalafsod. The tongue of the third party reveals the secret. But Tosfos offers a very interesting interpretation. The Ani Matzati Kasuf, I found something else. I found when Lashina to Lisa, the third tongue, she hikifal kosh barhu achashal etzem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu established different gates, if you will, different guards, if you will. Achashal etzem, one of bone, meaning your teeth. The achashal basar, and one of flesh, meaning your lips. You have guards here. You have, think of your where your tongue is. Close your mouth for a second. Think. I can't do it on talk. But your lips are your guard, number one, that's your flesh. And your teeth, bone, gate number two. And then the tongue is number three. So when the Gemara says the tongue of three, Lashon Telitai, so Tosfos has a little bit of a different interpretation. And that tongue is the third position, if you will, behind the exterior of your body. Look how well guarded it is. First you have, going back to Tosfos, where am I? Achashal Etzem. On a bone, achashal basar, on a flesh, v'hu shlishi betocham. He, the tongue, is the third one behind those gates or behind those entranceways. So Hashem established gates. Ties into how I began the shir quoting from the biography of the Chafetz Chaim by Rabbi M. Yashar, which is that the Chafetz Chaim said, you guard your door. In fact, you might have a double lock on your door. And you might have an alarm. So the spiritual mashal is the exact nimshal is the same. You have your lips, which is your flesh, basar. You have your teeth, which is the etzem. And behind that is the third tool, and that is your tongue. Okay, so we just learned that in, we explained it with footnotes and Rashi and Tosfos, that in the West they say, the tongue of person number three kills three. Who does it kill? It kills person A, it kills person B, and it kills the Megala Sod, person C as well. Going on, did I say everything I want to say? Oh, interestingly, just one thing in the footnote that I wanted to tell you, final footnote on that teaching. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that one who accepts the Lashon Hara is punished more than the others. So I didn't look up the Rambam in Hilchos Deos here, explained by the Smag, etc., but I thought that that was an interesting footnote that the Art School Gemara includes in the bottom. So you can't just say, oh, I was just passive, I was just a listener, I wasn't doing anything. Okay? According to some opinions based on the Rambam, he who accepts Lashon Hara is a more severe sin than the subject or than the speaker. So you just have to be very careful. Perhaps we are meant to understand that it's not so pasha to say it wasn't me. If you are involved in some way and you're accepting the speech, then that becomes a big problem. Going on, a further teaching of Rabbi Chama by Rabbi Chanina. Amar Rabbi Chama by Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chama, the son of Rabbi Chanina, says, Ma'i dichtiv. What does the pasuk say? I just quoted this pasuk. Maves v'chayim biyad lashon. So it's a pasuk from Mishlei, Perek Yod Ches, pasuk of Av. Mishlei 18:21. The full pasuk is Maves v'chayim biyad lashon. I think it's interesting to consider that pasuk on the eve, on the precipice of the Yom Hadim. Because my same lashon, Maves v'chayim biyad lashon, means that giving life to others or taking death, causing death through your tongue. But I just think the way we're understanding today, that it's very interesting that my tongue can either chas v'shem bring death upon, God forbid, a person themselves, or life. But how could the same tongue be your prosecutor and be your defense? So you better make sure now you meet that it is clean and worthy to approach your bones from in tefillah. The complete pasuk is mavis v'chayim b'yad lashon, a death and life. Mishlei 18:21 are in the hands of the tongue. V'ohaveha yochal pirya. And those who love her will eat her fruits. So, the Gemara says, Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina says, Ma'i dichtiv. What does it mean? Mavis v'chayim biyad lashon. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. V'chi yesh yad l'lashon. The Gemara says, does the tongue have a hand? Mavis v'chayim biyad lashon. Death and life are on the hand, literally hand, yad, lashon. But the Gemara says, what is that supposed to mean? V'chei yesh yad l'lashon, the tongue doesn't have a hand. So you could tell me, mavis v'chayim b'lashon. But what's mavis v'chayim b'yad halashon? My tongue doesn't have a hand, says the Gemara. V'chei yesh yad l'lashon, is there a hand to the tongue? No. It's a metaphor, lomar lach, to teach you, ma yad memisa, just like a hand, Rachman al-Tzan can bring or cause death. Af lashon mimisa. So too, just like a hand can cause death. We just had Rabbi Shai Ohain a few weeks ago in Eretz Yisrael, if you remember. There was a rabbi. He was 39 years old. In Petach Tikva, in the middle of the afternoon, 39, father of four young children, he was Rachman and son, stabbed, murdered, killed. Stabbed to death. There was a picture of him at the bris of one of his children, Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal, was next to him. Maybe he was a santic, I think, I'm not sure. He was murdered. So just like a hand can bring death, so the Gemara says, you should know. So Ayman thinks to himself, I'm not a murderer, chas v'sham. Mad yad memisa, but just like a hand can cause death, af lashon memisa. So too, one's tongue can cause death. If this is so, says the Gemara, ma yad ein memisa al besamachla. However, a hand can only kill something that it is near to. So aflashan einam amisa al besamecha. So maybe you might think a tongue can only kill a person near it. Now, of course, you know that that is the case or is not the case. So the Gemara is going to have to resolve that because we all know that's not the case. The reality is that the hand can only kill he who is near to him. However, the tongue has much more power apparently than the hand because the tongue can kill he who is not near to him at all. I'm just going to quote the footnote here. We would think if the gossipmonger spoke in the presence of all three, the speaker, the listener, the subject, then his tongue can kill. But if not, his tongue could not kill. So you might think the tongue can only kill at close distance, just like the hand could only kill at close distance. Talmud Lomar, that's not true. How do you know it's not true? Because the pasuk says, chet, chetz. Chetz shachut lishonam. The tongue is also a sharpened arrow. So just as an arrow can kill from afar, an arrow shot by a hand can kill from afar. So too the tongue can kill from afar. So the reality is that a hand doesn't only kill from close. If a hand shoots an arrow, the hand shoots the arrow over a distance. Chetz shachut lishonam. The tongue is likened to a sharpened arrow. Just like an arrow is released from a hand and reaches a far distance, so too words released by the tongue can reach a very far distance. And we all know this to be true. It's more true today than ever because of devices and social networking and WhatsApp. I'm not saying anything bad about WhatsApp. I'm a person who uses it. I do not use it. We have to just be very careful because we have to realize that a hand can kill from afar by releasing an arrow. Chetz shachut lishonam. So too the tongue is likened to a sharpened arrow which can kill over a great distance. E. Ma chetz ad arbaim v'chamishim ama. But maybe you might think an arrow can only kill from a distance of 40 or 50 amos. An arrow can't go around the world. Could go a certain amount. So your hand could kill through an arrow somebody who's not right next to you, but it's still limited in how far it could go. Can't go around the world. Aflashon ad arbaim v'chamishim amas. So too, can my tongue only kill something that is 40 or 50 amas away? So what's the answer to that, by the way? No. And today, unfortunately, we have weapons that can go much farther than 40 or 50 amos also. So it's not hard for us to imagine that just like an arrow, a weapon of mass destruction can reach much farther than 40 or 50 amos. So too, maves v'chaim biyad lashon. It's a mashal. The life, death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Just like the hand causes death, even from a distance, so too the tongue causes death. Even from a distance. So you might think an arrow only goes 40 or 50 amos, says the Gemara. So does that mean that speech and the damage from sins of speech only goes 40 or 50 amos? Talmud Omer, so the Gemara says, no. Shatu b'shamayim pihem u'lishonam tihalech ba'aretz. They set their mouths until the heavens and their tongues strut on earth. They set their mouths till the heavens, their tongues strut on earth. The footnote says, just as an arrow cannot be drawn back after it has been set loose, so too Lashon Hara cannot be taken back after it has been spoken. That's quoting the Shari Teshuvah. Another understanding between the likeness between an arrow shot by a hand and words shot by the tongue is that once you shoot your arrow, you can't take it back. And once your tongue shoots out words, they cannot be taken back. And you could delete your message, but maybe someone already took a screenshot and posted that screenshot and it's already around the world, even if you try to delete it. And the minute the tongue shoots its weapons, Sha'ari Teshuva says it cannot be taken back, which is another reason why the tongue is likened to an arrow that reaches a very far distance. You have to be very careful. And by the way, we see today more than ever how true it is that the words of the tongue kill not only the subject and the listener, but the speaker themselves. It's very scary, and it's very true, that today we see that a person, by saying the wrong thing, can ruin their own lives in an instant. It's happening, sometimes taken to a very great extreme. We should just take it as a Mr. Haskell, or sometimes what was said wasn't even really bad, but certain people or groups interpret it as having been with bad intent, and they ruin their own lives. And that's a big mussar, because you might think from the Gemara, wow, what does that mean? Someone else might be killed from Lashon Hara, but what about me? No, but a person can talk or ruin their very own lives, and the lives of their family, by saying the wrong thing, because it can never be taken back. Just like the arrow cannot be brought back after it is shot out. So, Talmud Omer, Shatu b'shamayim pihem u'lashonam tihaleich ba'aretz. They set their mouths into the heavens, and their tongues strut on earth. One second, I'm just looking up something here. That is a pasuk from Tehillim. Tehillim ayin gimel tes. Shatu b'shamayim pihem. They set their tongues into, their mouths into the heavens. U'lashonam tihaleich ba'aretz. Their tongues strut on earth. So the Gemara says, V'chime achar dichtiv, once it says, Shatu b'shamayim pihem, they set their mouths into the heavens, meaning a mouth can kill from everywhere. It's a metaphor. Your mouth can reach to the heavens. If my mouth can reach to the heavens, it means it can reach anywhere on earth. So, what teaches us a tongue can kill from anywhere? Why do I need the verse, Chetz shachu l'shonam, their tongue is a sharpened arrow? If you tell me my tongue reaches to the heavens, so why do you need to tell me my tongue is an arrow? If my tongue reaches to the heavens, which means it could kill from anywhere, so what does it mean? My tongue is a sharpened arrow. Ha, kimashma lan. This is what the verse teaches us. Dekatil kechetz. A tongue kills like an arrow. What does that mean? Interesting. Just as an arrow can kill without disclosing the identity of the archer, so too Lashon Hara can kill without making the victim aware of who the speaker was. It's true. Not always do we know who actually spoke the Lashon Hara that brings destruction upon a person. But just like an arrow, once it's shot, the person on the battlefield over there doesn't know which soldier actually released the arrow. He only knows that the arrow was released and that soldier ended up losing his life. You don't know who shot it. So too, the person who shot out those poisonous words, their identity might not actually be known. One second, I still want to quote a footnote. A person, Rabbeinu Gershon teaches, can speak Lashon Hara at one end of the world and kill at the other end of the world. Continues, I just want to finish this piece. V'chimi achar diftiv chei shachu l'shonam. And now you told me that their tongue is a sharpened arrow. So if you tell me the tongue is a sharpened arrow, so why do I need the pasuk that says death and life are in the hands of the tongue? In other words, the Gemara is clarifying how all of these psukim that seem redundant are actually teaching us different things as we are explaining. Why do you need to tell me that death and life are in the hands of the tongue? If you tell me that the tongue is a sharpened arrow, so I know that life and death are in the hands of the tongues. What else are you adding for me? The Kidir Rava, like Rava explains, the Amar Rava, Rava says, he who desires life, bilishane, can attain it through his tongue. He who desires life, we really bring our shir full circle, can attain it through his tongue. Deva'i misa bilishina. He who desires death can also achieve it through his tongue. And Rashi says, what does that mean? He who desires life, says Rashi, ya'asok b'torah. He who desires life should use his tongue to be involved in divrei Torah. He who desires death, says Rashi, ya'asok b'divrei shtus v'nevela. A few weeks ago we spoke about the sin of nivel peh. He who desires life, ya'asok b'torah, should involve himself in a life of Torah. He who desires death, ya'asok b'divrei shtus v'nevela, should involve themselves in matters of shtus, nothingness, silliness, pointlessness, and nevela, crass, inappropriate speech. The Midrash tells us, Rav Elimelech Achbiraman teaches us, that Tavi was once sent to the marketplace by his master. Bring me a piece of meat, the best piece of meat. We've told this before, over Alyssa and Ashir. The best piece of meat you could find. And Tavi brought the master a tongue. And the next week his master said, bring me the worst piece of meat you could find. And he brought his master a tongue. So the master said, Tavi, I don't understand. When I asked you for the best piece of meat, you brought me a tongue. When I asked you for the worst piece of meat, you brought me a tongue. What was the answer? What was the explanation? When the tongue is good, there's nothing better. And when the tongue is bad, there's nothing worse. And that's what Rava teaches, this last piece of the Gemara that we just said. Deva'e chayim, he who desires life, belishane. You should know that life, chayim, is with your tongue. Deva'e misa, he who desires death, belishane. It also comes through the tongue, as Rashi and the Gemara explain. If you desire life, you will use your tongue to be ya'asok b'torah, involve yourself in a life of Torah. And if you desire death, you will use your tongue to speak divrei shtus, the nevela. I just want to see what the I circled the funa that I want to tell you. Yeah, that's what the article says. So I think it's a beautiful way to end Shir, because Mavis V'chaim B'yad Halashon, and the Gemara says, if you desire life, you'll use your tongue. If you desire death, you also use your tongue. And we're coming up to the Yom HaDin very rapidly. Before we know it, we're going to turn around and we're going to say, wasn't it just Monday? Wasn't it just Sunday? Wasn't it just Rosh Hashanah last year? And now again it's Rosh Hashanah this year. And how did we get here so fast? But the same mouth that is going to be used for davening and beseeching and tachanunim and vidui should not be the same mouth that is sullied, that is dirtied with divrei shtus and nevela. Because that the path, says Rava, to death, Rachman al Tzan Sefer Hamaves, the Sefer Achayim, Pesuchim Lefanav. And we all know which book we want to be in. But we only have one tool. And that's the tool of our mouths. So the Tosos teaches, you have the basar, you have the teeth, the tongue is a third. There are so many gates. The Chavetz Chaim says, we started, you wouldn't leave the door to your home open wide to all robbers. Why do we leave the door of our mouths open wide? But we shouldn't be discouraged. Remember, just because man cannot be perfect does not negate his obligation and duty to strive to be good. Hashem does not want us to be discouraged. And if the gems wash up on the seashore, says the Chavetz Chaim, you're going to get what you can, even if you can't get all of them. Of course we'll try to get as many as we can. So we should never give up. We had so much learning. Hodu Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasto. We learned so much this year in Tafshin Pei. Shor really, Alyssa, be such a schus aliyah neshama for your father's neshama. Tzvi gershon b'niol v'chana alav Hashem. It's my fervent hope and tefillah that everybody found their Shmir Salashan enhanced in some way. If you held back one time, you got a gem from the seashore. And I'm sure that for those of us involved in this year, we held back more than one time. And the times that we failed, we're going to do teshuvah, and we're going to clap al chay, and we're really going to mean it. Abazos Hashem next year will be even better. But it is undoubtedly true that if you are osek in some way, to some degree, in this year, I don't believe it's possible. I hope not. That at least once you didn't rectify something that could have brought death, instead it brought life. Cynicism. It is forbidden to relate to a member of a community, family, or organization that someone spoke cynically of his group. To do so is to speak rechila. So we were just talking about the rechil in the Gemara. This is true even when members of that community, family, or organization regularly joke about themselves. You know how it is, you could joke about yourself, but if somebody else says it, it's not so funny anymore. So taka, that's the halacha. Even if those people regularly joke about themselves, that's okay. You want to joke about yourself? Okay, that's a different inyan. But someone else cannot relate to members of a community, family, or organization that someone else spoke cynically about that group. That is rechilus. It is common for people to It is common for people to poke fun at themselves, yet be offended when others make similar comments. It's very true. The same applies regarding a school. Students who regularly joke about their school or class are often offended when outsiders make similar comments. Therefore, mentioning to students that someone spoke negatively about their school, this is very interesting and very practical, is rechida. So we have to be very, very careful. Can I know how Baruch Hashem, all the children have gone back to schools and all the children have gone back to the yeshivos, and we have to be very careful not to relate something negative, chas v'sham, it shouldn't be done. Anyways, it's considered rechidas about that school. Parentheses, it should be noted that joking about one's own school generally involves Lashon Hara, and at the very least, Avak Lashon Hara. I wish you all and your families, Alyssa, this shiur should bring tremendous chusim to you and your family for a kesiva v'chasima tova, and to all of you, we should have a shana tova mesuka, a year that is only sweet and always good, and with the mouth with which we daven, Yamalei Hashem, call Mishal Sibedu the Tova, Amen, Amen. The Chavetz Chaim, as your was yesterday's Chuso Yagin Aleinu. I thank you so much, everybody, for learning with us. Have a wonderful day. Besuros Tovas. We do not meet Bezos Hashem until we should all be well. October 12th, I'll post a reminder after the Yamim Tovim. Thank you so much, everybody.